ought to be giving life. But we battle because X church over here got one. X church over here got one, so we got to have one. But then we lock it up. The church is on lockdown all week long. And the devil is open 24/7. We come a couple of hours on Sunday. Some of us don't come no more till next Sunday. Hour on Wednesday. About 3 hours in a week, the church is doing something. And the devil is operating 24/7. Something wrong with that preacher. Because we are more concerned about what's going on in Marksville and what's going on the TV. I know I'm right. Whether you go along with it or not. But the church got to turn around. These children are hurting. Their parents are hurting. And we sitting up here like everything is all right. They need help. And what are you going to do about it? We too busy having Red Hat Sunday. Blue.
All right. It's really gonna be all right.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna
beat the sound that say.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-Y-T, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, and I just want to lift out verse 22. 1 Chronicles, Old Testament, chapter 12, verse 22. Recorded are these words. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like the host of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. You may be seated in the presence of God. For the word says, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like the host of God. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, thank God for another day. Thank God for another day. David is experiencing some serious problems in the context of our verse. Saul is pursuing David with the intention of killing him. David is forced to flee from Saul and to hide wherever he is able to find covering. Things looked mighty bad for David. They were very dark and bleak in his life. The promise given him by Samuel that God would make him king of Israel seemed doomed. Because of the circumstances and the situations that he found himself in, it almost appeared as if God had made a promise he would not keep. One of the things that I love about the word is that our verse says that day by day, there came to David to help him, and this help eventually became a great host. Well, my brothers and sisters, like the host of God, it helped David become king, and it helped to fulfill the promise of God. And one of the things that I love about God is when God makes a promise, he really don't need your help to fulfill it. When God makes a promise and he speaks from his own word, from his own divine will, it is he himself that he depends upon to bring to pass what he has promised. If he has spoken it, his word will not return void. His spirit, his zeal will perform it. Well, when we look at this word, and we see this because even in our lives today, the same problems that David felt and faced, many of us on different levels face problems and situations, promises that seem like won't come to pass. It seems or appears that God has willed a certain thing, and yet the enemy has interplayed, he has interfered, he has intervened, and it almost appears as if God is powerless to do anything about it because the enemy seemingly is wreaking havoc in our lives and situations. But what we must know is that God, no matter what it looks like, what it feels like, what it seems like, is still in control. We live in an instant society where everything has got to be right now, right here, got to have it, needed it yesterday. But one of the things you're going to recognize is if you go back to the book of Genesis and then that first chapter where it begins to tell you all of the things that God did, when it gets to the sixth day and it says God finished all of his labor, the seventh day it said he rested from his labors. One of the things that people miss is the fact that when God created, when God did all that he desired to do, God himself knew everything there was to know from the beginning to the end. There is no need for God to get in a hurry when he already knew what your emergency was. God dispensationally put in place every help, every hope, every necessary ingredient for things to end up like he desired them to end up because he is sovereign. He is God. And so when you recognize that and understand that, that God doesn't have to get in a hurry for nothing or nobody because he is God. And so therefore, there is obviously something God wants us to learn when he doesn't make a promise and fulfill it always immediately. Maybe that's something God's trying to teach us in the prolonging of the process from the time he says it to the time he manifests it. Maybe there's something God's trying to get to develop in us as relates to the relationship and the walk with God from the time it is promised to the time it is fulfilled. Maybe we just need to understand that God has got this thing fixed. And when we recognize that and when we yield to God and understand that God operates according to his own time schedule, that day by day we experience many situations and circumstances. We experience them in our problems. We experience them in our prayers, and we experience them in our pursuits. But here's what you must recognize, that it is oftentimes in the day by day process that God reveals the fullness of his plans. Well, first of all, let's look at problems, because all of us don't have to be David to have problems. Don't have to be the king promised to have problems. One of the things that we'll note, that we want God to solve all of our problems all at once. If I would be honest with you today, I'm standing here in the pulpit, and yeah, there are some problems that have hit, that will hit, that are here, that I'd want God to instantaneously work out for me. Do I have a witness in the audience? All right, so we'll be real when we say we want God to solve all our problems at once, but we want the last part of the verse to be first. And look at what the verse says. And at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. Now, we want like the host of God to come first. And if that comes first, then the day by day process is really eliminated. We want God to step up and do it right now, right here, right quick. God, be on top of it, Johnny, on the spot. But if God did that, would we really become all that God wants us to become? Would we really mature and develop? Would we really become defined and refined into the person and personalities God is building and making us to become? No. The process is so important. That's the difference between the believers and the non-believers. We understand, we recognize that everything that God is doing through everything that happens to our lives, according to the word that says, and we know that all things work together for how? For good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So we recognize that even though God himself is not in evil, God himself does not do bad. He does permit evil and bad to happen as a part of the process to shape us and to make us to become what he wants us to be. And so knowing that, many times it is a day by day reality that he chooses to use as the process. But seldom does God skip the day-by-day process in solving our problems. Very seldom does he do that. For the day-by-day process teaches us to trust him. How do we trust him? Day by day. He gives us, and I've said this so many times to us, a whole year, but he doesn't give us a whole year in one day. He breaks that whole year into 365 days, places it in 12 months, take those months, put them in weeks, then put those weeks in days, then put those days in hours, put those hours in minutes, then put them down to seconds. And if you can't handle that, he will make it even easier for you doing that. He'll make it moment by moment for you. Whatever it is that you can take and deal with, God processes it for you so that you can process through what he's trying to do in you. And so you've got to realize there is a reason for the day-by-day experience in your life. How many things you have waited for the fulfillment, the manifestation of? It's been years. Yeah. Dreams, visions, goals, desires have not yet come to fruition, but yet God has reminded you he's not forgotten you. God's reminded you, I still mean what I said, and I said originally what I meant, and I'm going to do it. But we many times get impatient. We get excited on the first hand and then impatient on the second hand. We get an inspiration from God like Isaiah did, heard the heavenly conversation, jumped in, volunteered. Lord, if you need somebody, hear my, send me. He was excited for one moment. But then things didn't work out quite like he wanted them as quick as he wanted. The next thing we hear, not many verses later, is, Lord, how long? Jeremiah got upset because Jeremiah was told from a child that he had been ordained a prophet unto the nations. He would go in, he'd root up and tear down and build up and all of these wonderful things God said he was going to do. Jeremiah became an old man before those things became a reality. One day, Jeremiah, who had been in derision behind standing up and speaking out for God, saying what God wanted him to say, and even the people of God becoming disturbed at the message, not from the messenger, but through the messenger, decided he would resign his preaching post. Told God, I won't preach no more nor speak your name anymore. But he forgot one thing. God's word was in him. And he said it was like a fire shut up in my bones. And he said, I could not stay. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but he started moaning first. You've ever been in that place where you ain't want to really sing, ain't really want to praise, ain't really want to rejoice, but he had something on the inside of you, and it started off with, And before you know it, that started opening up a little bit, and you start opening your mouth, and before you fall or realize anything, you had fallen into a full praise to God. See, whatever is in you that is of God reaches up toward God. And if it is meant for God, you can't keep it concealed in you. That's why I've got problem with quiet church folk. Especially church folk that's been blessed by God, been blessed by God more than most folk would ever be blessed by God. I don't care how much God has blessed you, elevated you, educated you, brought you to a new level of place, existence, prominence, and what have you. You don't ever get that big where you can't open your mouth and give God praise. Whatever it is you have, you've got it because God has allowed it. And so he should be worthy of your praise, worthy of your honor. All of those things are but the grace of God, the goodness of God. Those are the things that we must recognize that God chooses to do in us, with us, through us, as it relates. So even when we deal with our problems, we must recognize that God himself will work through our troubles. He will reveal himself more and more through our problems. We actually get close to God through the things that were meant to tear us apart and take us away from God. When God allows the devil to test you, try you, tempt you, whatever it is he wants to do to you, he puts limitations on the devil, because the devil's desire is to destroy you. God's desire is to define you. And so he never lets the devil do all that he wants, but he uses the devil to do what it's going to take to make you all that God wants you to be. That's why God has to use problems. You don't believe it? How many of us, and I want you to raise your hands, I just want you to look at your own life. How many times can you honestly say my prayer life got strengthened when I was enormously blessed, or more when I was going through problems? And the truth of the matter is that we came into a place and a knowledge and an awareness of God greater because of our problems more than our prosperity. Matter of fact, the more prosperous many of us are, the more we take off from God. Take off from church, find ourselves here enjoying the liberties of our liberalities and all of our blessings and prosperities. And so many times we stop in and say hello to God every now and then, but let troubles rise. We don't just call him in the morning. We call him in the noonday. We call him on our break. We call him riding to work. Call him riding from work. Call him in the middle of the day. Got our Bible on our lunch break. Y'all ain't got to act like I ain't telling the truth here. Let troubles rise. we remember how much we love the Lord. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied my. Yeah, but when it's going good, we don't sing that song. We got other songs we sing, and most of them ain't church related. So don't act as if you get closer to God more through prosperity than you do with problems. Notice again, it's a day-by-day process that God works through with the problem. Children of Israel could have been delivered in days. Took them years. And day by day by day did God stay with them. And he fed them. And he led them. And he took care of them throughout their wilderness experience. And the very fact that they thought that God would not be faithful to take care of the children, God said, I'll show you how faithful I am. He let the children come out and let the folk that didn't believe him die in there. God is faithful. And so sometimes through your problems daily, he's doing something through that process that otherwise would not be done on the same order. But notice something again, the day-by-day process comes through our prayer. God works day by day regarding the answering of our prayers. Sometimes we complain that God does not answer our prayers, when actually he's answering our prayers all the time. What we fail to see is that God is answering them day by day. Process teaches us to trust him day by day, and the truth of the matter is we need to be patient. Keep praying. Don't give up. God will answer the prayer, but it may not come all at once. When you are faithful to continue to pray, to continue to lift God up, to continue to remind God that you believe his word, that you have spoken what he has spoken to you, and that you're believing it, therefore you are speaking it, and you are waiting for the manifestation on that word to become reality in your life, you will see day by day God strengthens you in the process, but all the while he is making the intimate fellowship stronger and stronger day by day. Before you know it, sometime it's not until you get to the end of the situation do you realize God was answering your prayer all the time. Some of us don't consider the prayer answered until it has come out the way that we want. How many times have God chosen in his own divine order, will, and perfect way to upgrade your prayer request and give you something bigger and better than you even requested? And he does that because as you walk with God, talk with God, fellowship with God, trust God, you become more and more intimate with God, and therefore God shows you more of his heart. God shows you more of his love, his grace, his blessings, and all of that in that same process. Then he goes even beyond your request and gives you the desires of your heart. That happens in a day-by-day process. How many of you gotten some things you really wanted but you never asked God for it? God knows your heart. You really asked for this but you wanted this. God knew your heart. Some things you asked God for and you say, God, why didn't you give it to me? And it wasn't until you realized later that when you processed through it, God had better than what you had requested of him. You see, when you pray and then you say, thy will be done, you say, God, this is what I asked for, but I'm leaving it up to you if you desire to upgrade my request. And so my brothers and sisters, when we begin to look at this and understand that day by day, this little phrase in the midst of understanding David's situation and understanding how God was using his situation of hiding from Saul to actually bring him closer to God. Now, God had made a promise to him that he was going to be the king of Israel, sent the man of God to say that to him. He had God's word on that matter. And yet it looked like God was not going to fulfill that promise. He, listen, needed to get David right by being in intimate
communication and fellowship with David before he gave David all that he had promised David. Sometime God has to arrange and rearrange you before he puts in your hand what he promised you. In other words, sometime God has to prune you. God has to prepare you. God has to take you to another place in him before he can release all of the things that he himself has promised to you. And David recognizes this and he sees this. And look at how God does it. And I love God's faithfulness. Because when you read the word, let's go back to it again. It says in verse 22, for at that time, day by day, that came to David to help him, that came to David to help him, not to hurt him, that came to David. God has a way of sending to you what you need when you need it the most. And sometimes, listen at this, what appears to be destruction is really construction in camouflage. Y'all didn't get that, went right over some of your head. Sometimes God will send the most unlikeliest folk to help you when you thought they were coming to hurt you. Well, look, if you don't believe it, just go up into the word of God in verse 17, and it says, and David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me, listen at this. He makes clear, to be mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Now, here's why David is saying this, because a lot of you all don't realize God is saying to David, as he's communing with David and strengthening David every day of the process, God is telling him that I love you, that I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. God is reassuring David that it's going to work out like I told you it's going to work out. I know you're in the cave. I know you're hiding. I know you don't understand it right now. But just to show you that I mean what I say, I'm going to encourage you on a daily basis. I want you to see something, because when you look at verse 23, it starts off giving you a list of those people that God sent. Well, remember this phrase, day by day. Because when you start off from Judah, he sent 6,800 one day. The next day, he sent from Simeon 7,100. Day by day. He didn't send them all at the same time. The next day, he sent from Levi 4,600. The next day, he sent from Benjamin 3,000. Day by day, from Ephraim, he sent 20,800. From western Manasseh, he sent 18,000. Day by day. From Issachar, where the leaders, 200 of them came, and all of the men underneath those 200 came. Day by day. From Zebulun, he sent 50,000. Didn't send all of these men in one day, but he kept doing it day by day. From Naphtali, he sent 38,000. From Dan, he sent 28,600. From Asher, he sent 40,000. From the eastern Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben, he sent 120,000. And yet, it was not yet even finished in the number that totaled 337,100 men, according to 1 Chronicles 12 and 32. That wasn't all the count, but God didn't send all of that number in one day. He did it day by day. Well, you say, well, preacher, this don't make a whole lot of sense to me. I understand it, but what does that have to do with me? I'm just saying you ought to say thank God for each day he gives you. Thank God for another day. Why? Because today might not be all that you want it to be, but thank God today ain't the last day. Some of you may be going through a divorce. You may be going through a loss of a job. You might be going through sickness. You might be going through one calamity after another. But thanks be to God that it's not over today, and there is another day that God is sending. And day by day, God is bringing the answer and the solution and all that he prepares for you to become through a regimen of daily doses. Thank God for another day? Or how many days have you gotten up, you just felt like, I don't even want to get out of bed, I don't want to dot the door, I don't want to take a shower, I don't want to eat, I don't want, you get depression.